We're live.
Blog Talk Radio.
Give a shout out to my pastor, Pastor Jesse Herring, and the Table of Life Ministries, thanking all of you for a beautiful and wonderful birthday. It was beautiful, and I just want to thank a special thanks to the children of the table. As youth pastor, it is such a privilege to be a part of the youth ministry and to be a part of these children who are amazing. They made me this humongous poster that is just beautiful with all of their signatures on it and balloons and just a really nice, nice day. And all I can say is thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you for just being who you are, awesome and wonderful. And Mother Valerie, thank you as well for your birthday greetings and everything. I just appreciate you more than words can say. So just grateful to have another year and another day. I had a great birthday. My brother called me and, of course, made me laugh because he is just funny like that. And I will be shouting him out next week because it is his birthday next Saturday. He is my baby brother. He's 10 years and one day younger than I am. 10 years, 9 days, excuse me. 10 years, 9 days younger than I am. And he is a hoot. He will make you laugh. He will make you cry. He will make you just say, you're just so crazy. And that's why I just love him to pieces and very grateful to tell God thank you for my siblings, for my sister, who also sent me a beautiful birthday greeting as well, thanking God for just being who he is, awesome and mighty, and knowing that the Lord is in charge of everything, and all we have to do is obey his instructions. That's our title for this morning. Obey what God tells you to do. Just do it, because it'll be easier for you when you obey God, because believe me, when you disobey, as the word says, obedience is better than sacrifice. You'll lose a kingdom, and we don't want to lose anything. We want to keep everything we have because God gave it to us, and we want to keep it. So, Mother Valerie, I have a prayer for this morning, and still cannot believe it is the 15th day of March. Understand, everybody, 30 days left to get those taxes done. No, I'm speaking to me, not to many of you who probably have theirs done. I do not, but I will be working on it. Excuse me. And the word of God is coming about the fruit of the Spirit, and it says the sweetest fruit. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, control. Against such things, there is no law. Father of love, your kindness is astounding. your peace unending. Your joy is like a hidden brook with bubbling and dancing water, flowing with life. Your goodness is found in your character. It is the very makeup of who you are. Your faithfulness is more reliable than the seasons changing. Your gentleness reveals your tender heart. Your own self-control reveals the beauty of the choices you've given us. There is no law against these things. I could spend my whole life getting to know you in these attributes, and I would still have only scratched the surface. There is no limit to the fruit that you give. Let my life be fragrant with this fruit in a thriving orchard. May I eat of the bounty of its fruit and also freely give it away to those around me with a life filled with your spirit. I cannot go wrong. And the question for this morning, excuse me, family, what fruit do you need more in your life today? Do you need more joy? Do you need more love? Do you need more peace? Do you need more forbearance or patience? Do you need kindness? Do you need goodness? Do you need faithfulness? Do you need gentleness? Or do you need some self-control? Just something to think about. As we pray, Father God in heaven, we come to you this morning, humbly thanking you for another day. For this is the day that you have made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it, as the psalmist tells us. Father God, we ask you to guide and lead us and help us to be the best that we can be. And Lord God, as we lift this word up to you as always, we ask you to increase as we decrease, Father. Let the words of our mouth and the meditation of our humble hearts be acceptable in your holy and divine sight. For you, Lord God, are strength and you are redeemer. And it's in the precious and holy name of Jesus we pray, believing and trusting that all things work together for good when we do according to your word and your purpose. And we put our trust in you. And Lord God, let us always know that you are in charge of everything, and we must obey your instructions. For you are holy, you are righteous, you are our Father God, and we are grateful that you sent your Holy Son to save us from our sins. In his name we pray, amen. Giving it over to you, Mother Valerie.
Good morning, good morning, good morning, good morning. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it. I'm grateful and I'm thankful. I'm glad that Pastor Bridget was surprised for her birthday party yesterday. I'm sure it was a good party. It's good when you surprise people and they're not even expecting anything at all. God is good all the time. I'm coming out of Numbers 27:1-28:31. Then came the daughters of Zophahad, the son of Hepher, the son of Gilead, the son of Machir, the son of Manasseh, from the families of Manasseh, the son of Joseph. And these were the names of his daughter: Mahah, Noah, Hogah, Malachi, Tizah. And they stood before Moses, before Elijah, the priests, and before the leaders of all the congregation by the doorway of the tabernacle of meeting, saying, "Our father died in the wilderness, but he was not in the company of those who gathered together against the Lord in company with Korah, but he died in his own sins, and he had no sons. Why should the name of our father be removed from among his family? Because he had no sons? Give us a possession among our father's brothers." So Moses brought their case before the Lord. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "The daughters of Zophelophehad speak what is right. You shall surely give them a possession of inheritance among their father's brothers, and cause the inheritance of their fathers to pass to them. And you shall speak to the children of Israel, saying, if a man dies, has no son, then you shall cause this inheritance to pass to his daughter. If he has no daughters, then you shall give his inheritance to his brother. If he has no brothers, then you should give his inheritance to his father's brothers. And if his father have no brothers, then you should give his inheritance to the relative closest to him in his family. And he shall possess, and it shall be to the children of Israel a statute of judgment, just as the Lord commanded Moses. Now the Lord said to Moses, go up into Mount Abarim and see the land which I have given to the children of Israel. And when you have seen it, you also shall be gathered to your people as Aaron your brother was gathered. For in the wilderness of Zin, during the strife of the congregation, you rebel against my command to hallow me at the waters before their eyes. These are the waters of Meribah at Kadesh in the wilderness of Zin. Moses spoke to the Lord, saying, let the Lord, the God of the spirit of all flesh, set a man over the congregation who may go out before them and go in before them, who may lead them out and bring them in, that the congregation of the Lord may not be like sheep which have no shepherd. And the Lord said to Moses, take Joshua, the son of Nun, with you, a man in whom is the spirit. Lay your hands on him. Set him before Eleazar, the priest, and before all of the congregation, and inaugurate him in their sight. And you shall give some of your authority to him, that all the congregation of the children of Israel, of the children of Israel, may be obedient. And God gave the authority to Joshua. That's what he did because of Moses striking that rock. Moses didn't do what God told him. And lay your hands on him. Set him before Elijah, the priest, and before all the congregation. Inaugurate him in their sight. And you shall give some of your authority to him, that all the congregation of the children of Israel may be obedient. Obedient is better than a sacrifice. Our title is obey what God tells you to do. And we should. He still stands before Eleazar. He shall stand before Eleazar, the priest, who shall inquire before the Lord for him by the judgment of Urim. And his word they shall go out, and at his word they shall come in, he and all the children of Israel with him, all the congregation. So Moses did as the Lord commanded him. He took Joshua, set him before Eleazar, the priest, and before all the congregation. He laid his hands on him, inaugurated him, just as the Lord commanded by the hand of Moses. Now the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, command the children of Israel, say to them, my offering, my food for my offering made by fire as a sweet aroma to me, you shall be careful to offer to me at the appointed time. And you shall say to them, this is the offering made by fire which you shall offer to the Lord. Two male lambs in the first year without blemish, day by day as a regular burnt offering. The one lamb you shall offer in the morning, other lamb you shall offer in the evening, one-tenth of a ephah, a fine flour, grain offering mixed with one-fourth of a hin of pressed oil. It is a regular burnt offering which were ordained at Mount Sinai for a sweet aroma, an offering made by fire to the Lord. And its drink offering shall be one-fourth of a hin for each lamb in a holy place. You should pour out the drink to the Lord as an offering. The other lamb you should offer in the evening as the morning grain offering and its drink offering. You should offer it as an offering made by fire, a sweet aroma to the Lord. On the Sabbath day, two lambs in their first year without blemish, two-tenths of an ephah, a fine flour as a grain offering mixed with oil with its drink offering. This is the burnt offering for every Sabbath, besides the regular burnt offering with its drink offering. At the beginning of your months, you shall present a burnt offering to the Lord, two young bulls, one ram, seven lambs, in their first year without blemish. Three-fourths of an ephod, a fine flour is a grain offering with oil for each bull. Two-tenths of an ephod of fine flour as grain offering mixed with oil. For the one ram and one-tenth of an ephod of fine flour mixed with oil as grain offering for each lamb. as a burnt offering, a sweet aroma, an offering made by fire to the Lord. Their drink offering shall be half a hin of wine for a bull, one-third of a hin for a ram, one-fourth of a hin for a lamb. This is the burnt offering for each month throughout the months of the year. Boy, they better not forget how to do it. One hin for this and one hin for that. They had to do a lot of, I wonder, did they write it down? Also, one kid of the goat as a sin offering to the Lord shall be offered besides the regular burnt offering and its drink offering. On the 14th day of the first month is the Passover of the Lord, and on the 15th day of this month is the feast. Unleavened bread shall be eaten for 7 days. That unleavened bread, no yeast is put in the bread to make the bread rise. On the first day, you shall have a holy convocation. You shall do no customary work. You shall present an offering made by fire as a burnt offering to the Lord, 2 young bulls, 1 ram, 7 lambs in the first year. Be sure that they are without blemish. I wonder if they had blemish and you didn't check them and you offered them, what would happen? That's just me wondering. The grain offering shall be a fine flour mixed with oil, 3/10 of an ephah. You shall offer for a bull, 2/10 for a ram. You shall offer 1/10 of an ephah for each of the 7 lambs. Also 1 goat as a sin offering to make atonement for you. You shall offer these beside the burnt offering of the morning, which is for a regular burnt offering. In this manner, you shall offer the food of the offering made by fire daily for 7 days as a sweet aroma to the Lord. It shall be offered besides the regular burnt offerings and its drink offerings. On the 7th day, you shall have a holy convocation. You shall do no customary work. Also, on the day of the first fruits, when you bring a new grain offering to the Lord at your Feast of Weeks, you shall have a holy convocation. You shall do no customary work. You shall present a burnt offering as a sweet aroma to the Lord, 2 young bulls, 1 ram, 7 lambs in the first year, with a grain offering, a fine flour mixed with oil, 2/10 of an ephah for each bull, 2/10 for 1 ram, 1/10 for each of the 7 lambs. Also, 1 kid of the goat to make atonement for you. Be sure they are without blemish. You shall present them with the drink offerings besides the regular burnt offerings is grain offering. Life lessons, number 27 and 12. Go up into this Mount Abram and see the land which I have given to the children of Israel. God would not allow Moses to enter the promised land because of the public disobedience at the waters of Meribah. But in his grace, he did allow him to view the land from a distance, even in judgment. God is merciful. No, Moses couldn't go over to the promised land because he was disobedient. And I'll tell you, obey what God tells you to do. Well, he didn't obey. And God told him to talk to the rock. He struck the rock. But God did let him see the promised land. He saw it, but just didn't go over. He had turned everything over to Joshua. Numbers 27:18. Take Joshua, the son of Nun, with you, a man in whom is the Spirit. Lay your hand on him. God authorized Moses to make Joshua a man in whom is in the Spirit, the next leader of Israel. Spirit-filled leadership is the only kind of leadership worth following. The best leaders know to follow God's example and direction. We shall always, always follow God and his direction. Life lessons, numbers 27:15-23. Anytime you take a risk for God, you will need courage. Joshua certainly understood this requirement. The Lord challenged Joshua with the mission of getting a multitude of Israel across the Jordan River. I think they said it was 600,000. That's not counting the women or the children. So they might claim the land of promise before sending the people across the river. The Lord exhorted Joshua 3 times to have courage, telling him to remember the promise he had made to his forefathers, reminding him to obey the law of Moses. and promised Joshua he would be with him every step of the way. You know, don't fear is 365 times in the Bible, and that's one for every day. But he told Joshua, I'll be with you. And if God is with you, the God who made the heaven and the earth, he's with you, then you really don't have anything to be afraid of. It says fear and discouragement are subject to your will. Through faith in God, you can rule over them. Through believing in God, you can rule over them, not them over you. Remind yourself daily of what you heard God say in his word. Stay close to him and refuse to allow yourself to give in to fear and discouragement. A whole lot of people he had to leave, but God told him, don't be afraid. Do not be afraid. Don't fear. I'm with you. I'm going with you. You don't have to be afraid of anything. God is just good all the time. And when God says that he's with you, he's with you. He is with you. I'm reading Numbers chapter 29. And in the seventh month, on the first day of the month, you should have a holy convocation. You should do no customary work. For you, it is a day of blowing the trumpets. We had overnight prayer at church, and to hear those ladies blow the trumpet is really, really beautiful, the sound of the trumpet blowing. You shall offer a burnt offering as a sweet aroma to the Lord, one young bull, one ram, seven lambs in the first year without blemish. The grain offering shall be fine flour mixed with oil, 3/10 of an ephah for the bull, 2/10 for the ram, 1/10 for each of the seven lambs. Also, one kid of the goat as a sin offering to make atonement for you. Besides the burnt offering with its grain offering for the new moon, the regular burnt offering with its grain offering and their drink offering according to their ordinance as a sweet aroma, are often made by fire to the Lord. On the 10th day of this 7th month, you shall have a holy convocation. You shall afflict your souls. You should not do any work. That's the Sabbath day. You shall not do any work. Afflict your souls means that you should not eat a whole lot of food. It's like fasting. You should present a burnt offering to the Lord as a sweet aroma. One young bull, one ram, seven lambs in the first year. Be sure that they are without blemish. The grain offering shall be fine flour mixed with oil, 3/10 of an ephah for the bull, 2/10 for one ram, and 1/10 for each of the seven lambs. Also, one kid of the goat as a sin offering, besides sin offering for atonement, the regular burnt offering with its grain offering and their drink offering. On the 15th day of the 7th month, you shall have a holy convocation. You should do no customary work, and you shall keep a feast to the Lord 7 days. You shall present a burnt offering as the offering made by fire as a sweet aroma to the Lord, 13 young bulls, 2 rams, 14 lambs in the first year. They shall be without blemish. The grain offering shall be a fine flour mixed with oil, 3/10 of ephah for each of the 13 bulls, 2/10 for each of the 2 rams, and 1/10 for each of the 14 lambs. Also, one kid of the goat as a sin offering, beside the regular burnt offering, its grain offering, and its drink offering. On the 2nd day, present 12 young bulls, 2 rams, 14 lambs in their first year without blemish. And the grain offerings and the drink offerings for the bulls, for the rams, and for the lambs, by their number, according to the ordinance. Also, one kid of the goats as a sin offering, besides the regular burnt offerings with its grain offering and their drink offering. On the 3rd day, present 11 bulls, 2 rams, 14 lambs in the first year without blemish. And their grain offerings and their drink offerings for the bulls, for the rams, and 2 for the lambs, by their number, according to the ordinance. Also, one goat as a sin offering, besides the regular burnt offering, its grain offering, and its drink offering. On the 14th day, present 10 bulls, 2 rams, 14 lambs, in their first year without blemish. And the grain offerings and the drink offerings for the bulls, for the rams, and for the lambs, by their number, according to the ordinance. Also, one kid of the goat as a sin offering. Besides the regular burnt offerings, its grain offerings, and its drink offerings. On the fifth day, present nine bulls. I wonder, do they get mixed up on this stuff? I bet they write it down.
I wonder too, Mother.
Whew. I know they write it down. On the fifth day, present nine bulls, two rams, 14 lambs, in the first year without blemish, the grain offering and the drink offering for the bulls, for the rams, and for the lambs, by their number, according to the ordinance. Also, one goat as a sin offering, beside the regular burnt offering, its grain offering, its drink offering. On the sixth day, present eight bulls instead of nine. Eight bulls, two rams, 14 lambs, in their first year without blemish. Their grain offering and the drink offering for the bulls, for the rams, for the lambs, by their number, according to their ordinance. Also, one goat as a sin offering, besides the regular burnt offering, its grain offering, its drink offering. On the seventh day, present seven bulls, instead of going down, 9, 8, 7. Two rams, 14 lambs, in the first year without blemish. And the grain offering, and the drink offering for the bulls, for the rams, and for the lambs, by their number, according to their ordinance. Also, one goat as a sin offering, beside the regular burnt offering, its grain offering, and its drink offering. On the eighth day, you should have a cycle. Assembly. You shall do no customary work. You shall present a burnt offering as an offering made by fire as a sweet aroma to the Lord. One bull, one ram, seven lambs in the first year without blemish. And the grain offering and the drink offering for the bull, for the ram, and for the lambs by the number according to the ordinance. Also, one goat as a sin offering besides the regular burnt offering is grain offering and the drink offering. These you shall present to the Lord at your appointed feast beside your vow offering and your free will offering as your burnt offering and your grain offering as your drink offering and your peace offering. So Moses told the children of Israel everything just as the Lord commanded Moses. Life lesson.
Amen.
32.
No, I got that one.
Okay, I'm going back.
I got that one. We're all good. But
okay.
What I wanted to say, Mother.
To pass the scripture. Turning it over.
Mother, can you hear me very clearly now?
I can hear you.
Mother Valerie, can you hear me? Okay. What I wanted to say was, what I'm thinking is, this is what just came to my mind when you were talking about the blemished, unblemished, without blemish. Is that maybe what they do is there are some that are non-blemished that they mate to each other so that they have a herd of unblemished lambs, unblemished everything that they have, that they are like only the unblemished are together so that they don't mix with the blemished so that they stay pure. That's the only thing I can think of, that you would have an unblemished lamb, unblemished everything. But mostly it's the lambs that are unblemished, is to keep them set apart from blemished lambs so that the genetics stays the same, so the DNA stays unblemished. I don't know. That was just something that came to mind as you were reading, because that would be very difficult. To every time you have to make a sacrifice to go through every one of the lambs and the rams and the sheep and the goats and to try to find the unblemished, that you would probably have to, you know, maybe the Levites kept the group of unblemished separated. It's the only way I could think that you would always have an unblemished. And then to know if it's in the first year, you would have to put the first year away from everything else as well, so that they're not mixed in, you know, with the second year and the third year and the fourth year, the first year. So as soon as they're born, you know that this is a first-year lamb or ram or whatever. So anyway, that was just something that came to mind as you were reading, that they had to be kept. I would think they would have to be kept apart. And as we go into my section of the word this morning, I'm coming out of Numbers chapter 30 to chapter 32. And when it goes into, it says, Moses spoke to the heads of the tribes concerning the children of Israel, saying, this is the thing which the Lord has commanded. If a man makes a vow, this is where we talk about vows, to the Lord, or swears an oath to bind himself by some agreement, he shall not break his word. He shall do according to all the proceeds out of his mouth. Or if a woman makes a vow to the Lord and binds herself by some agreement while in her father's house, in her youth, and her father hears her vow and the agreement by which she has brought herself, and her father holds his peace, then all her vows shall stand. Every agreement with which she has bound herself shall stand. But if her father overrules her on the day that he hears, then none of her vows nor her agreements by which she has bound herself shall stand. And the Lord will release her because her father overrules her. If indeed she takes a husband while bound by her vows or by a rash utterance from her lips by which she bound herself, and her husband hears it and makes no response to her on the day that he hears it, then her vow shall stand, and her agreement by which she bound herself shall stand. But if her husband overrules her on the day that he hears it, he shall make void her vow which she took and what she uttered with her lips by which she bound herself, and the Lord will release her. Also, any vow of a widow or a divorced woman by which she has bound herself shall stand against her. So any vow I make as a widow, it stands against me because there's no father or husband to overrule me. And it goes on to tell us, and if she vows in her husband's house, or bound herself by an agreement with an oath, and her husband heard it and made no response to her and did not overrule her, then all her vows shall, every agreement by which she bound herself shall stand. But if her husband truly made them void on the day he heard them, then whatever proceeds from her lips concerning her vows or concerning the agreement binding her, it shall not stand. Her husband has made them void, and the Lord will release her. Every vow and every binding oath to afflict her soul, her husband may confirm it, or her husband may make it void. Now, if her husband makes no response, whatever to her from day to day, then he confirms all her vows or all the agreements that bind her. He confirms them because he made no response to her on the day that he heard them. But if he does make them void after he has heard them, then he shall bear her guilt. These are the statutes which the Lord commanded Moses between a man and his wife and between a father and his daughter in her youth in her father's house. And as Mother was going to read the life lesson from chapter 30, verse 2, the man makes a vow to the Lord. He shall do according to all that proceeds out of his mouth. If we make a vow, Dr. Stanley tells us, if we make a vow to God, we are not to violate it or take it back. Jesus tells us, however, that is better not to make a vow after all, but rather to always speak forthright. Matthew 5:33-37. Don't make vows that you can't keep. You know, I always remember, you know, when we say, well, if you do this, Lord, then I'm going to do that. You know, we don't need to make vows. God already knows our heart. You know, if you're going to do something, just do it. Because once you vow it, you can't go back on it. You know, you cannot go back on it. I know that for this month of Lent, or these weeks of Lent, I gave up what I like a lot, which is chicken and turkey, which is pretty much what I eat most of the time, chicken and turkey, which are like my mainstays for protein. And because I'd already given up beef. I haven't eaten beef and pork. I haven't eaten pork in years. But I haven't eaten beef in probably now going on a year. And but I eat chicken and I eat turkey. But I gave them up also. And so all I'm eating right now is fish and fish products. So I'm eating salmon and fish, but I don't eat tilapia, but I eat all the other fish that are good for you, with omega-3 and all of those things. I love tuna, and I love, like I said, salmon. Speaking of, I'm probably going to make me some salmon croquettes that I haven't had those in a long time. But the bottom line is that we have to make a vow. If you make that vow, you got to stick with it. And it's been times where I have been starving, and all they had was chicken. You know, I went to a wedding, and, of course, it was chicken, green beans, mashed potatoes, and corn. A staple, a standard, and a salad. So needless to say, oh, and they had beef, really good-looking, tender-looking beef. And I couldn't have that. So I had to go down, and they also had mac and cheese. And so I said, well, I'm not eating meat, but can I have some extra? Can I have the mac and cheese? Because you had a choice of mac and cheese or potatoes. And I'm sorry, there was no corn in it. And so I was able to get mac and cheese and green beans and mashed potatoes as well as salad. So I ate pretty good. So, but you have to make a decision, you know. And when I go out, I always ask for a vegetarian meal. And for that reason, so that I don't get all the extra stuff that I don't eat. So we have to think on all of that as we go through, that, you know, we make choices. But when you make that vow to God, Lord, I am not going to eat any turkey and I'm not going to eat any chicken. If I know about it, I'm not eating it. You know, sometimes people may put something in a food that you don't know is there. Now that, I believe God forgives you because you don't know it. But if you know it and break your vow, then I think that is a problem with God. So don't make vows that you know you can't keep. Don't say, I'm going to lose 15 pounds by June the 15th if you're not going to stick to the exercise and the diet and to do what you say you're going to do. Because you're not going to make the 15 pounds if you don't do and go and do what you say you're going to do. So we have to make sure we do what we say we're going to do. Because, again, God does not play. The Lord God is in charge of everything. Obey his instructions. And before you do anything, pray about it. Lord, if this is what you want me to do, talk to God. Take it to the throne and not the phone. And as we go into Numbers chapter 31, it says, and the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, take vengeance on the Midianites. For the children of Israel, afterwards you shall be gathered to your people. Moses is about to die. He's about to go with God. His soul is about to leave. But he has some assignments that he's got to do before he leaves this earth. And it says, so Moses spoke to the people, saying, arm some of yourselves for war, and let them go against the Midianites to take vengeance for the Lord on Midian. 1,000 from each tribe of all the tribes of Israel you shall send to war. That's 12,000 people. So there were recruited from the divisions of Israel, 1,000 from each tribe, 12,000 armed for war. Then Moses sent them to the war, 1,000 from each tribe. He sent them to the war with Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the priest with the holy articles and the signal trumpet in his hand. And they warred against the Midianites, just as the Lord commanded Moses. And they killed all the males. They killed the kings of Midian with the rest of those who were killed. Evi, Rekem, Zur, Hur, and Reba, the five kings of Midian. Balaam, the son of Beor, also killed with the sword. And the children of Israel took the women of Midian captive with their little ones and took as spoils all their cattle, all their flocks, all their goods. They also burned with fire all the cities where they dwelt and all their forts. And they took all the spoil and all the booty of man and beast. Then they brought the captives, the booty and the spoil to Moses, to Eleazar the priest, and to the congregation of the children of Israel, to the camp in the plains of Moab by the Jordan, across from Jericho. And Moses, Eleazar, and the priests, and all the leaders of the congregation went to meet them outside the camp. But Moses was angry with the officers of the army, with the captains over thousands and the captains over hundreds who had come from the battle. And Moses said to them, have you kept all the women alive? Look, these women caused the children of Israel through the counsel of Balaam to trespass against the Lord in the incident at Beor. And there was a plague among the congregation of the Lord. Now, therefore, kill every male among the little ones and kill every woman who has known a man intimately. But keep alive for yourselves all the young girls who have not known a man intimately. And as for you, remain outside the camp 7 days. Whoever has killed any person and whoever has touched any slave, purify yourself and your captive on the third day and on the seventh day. Purify every garment, everything made of leather, everything woven of goat hair, and everything made of wood. Then the Eleazar the priest said to the men of war who had gone to the battle, this is the ordinance of the law which the Lord commanded Moses. Only the gold, the silver, the bronze, the iron, and the tin, and the lead, everything that can endure fire, you shall put through the fire, and it shall be clean, and it shall be purified with the water of purification. But all that cannot endure fire, you shall put through water, and you shall wash your clothes on the seventh day and be clean, and afterwards you may come into the camp. Now the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, count up the plunder. Count up the plunder that was taken off men and youth, you and Eleazar the priest, and the chief fathers of the congregation, and divide the plunder into two parts between those in the war who went out to battle and all the congregation, and levy a tribute for the Lord on the men of war who went out to battle, one of every 500 of the persons, the cattle, the donkeys, and the sheep. Take it from their half and give it to Eleazar the priest as a heave offering to the Lord. And from the children of Israel, half you shall take one of every 50 drawn from the persons, the cattle, the donkey, the sheep, from all the livestock, and give them to the Levites who keep charge of the tabernacle of the Lord. So Moses and Eleazar the priest did as the Lord commanded Moses. The booty remaining from the plunder, which the men of war had taken, was 675,000 sheep, 72,000 cattle, 61,000 donkeys, and 22,000 persons in all of the women who had not known a man intimately, and the half, the portion for those who had gone out to war, was in number 337,500 sheep, and the Lord's tribute of the sheep was 675. The cattle was 36,000, of which the Lord's tribute was 72. The donkeys were 30,500, of which the Lord's tribute was 61. The persons were 16,000, of which the Lord's tribute was 32 persons. So Moses gave the tribute, which was the Lord's heave offering, to Eleazar the priest, as the Lord commanded Moses. And from the children of Israel's half, which Moses separated from the men who fought, now the half belonging to the congregation were 337,500 sheep, 36,000 cattle, 30,500 donkeys, 16,000 persons. And from the children of Israel's half, Moses took one of every 50 drawn from men and beasts, and gave them to the Levites, who kept charge of the tabernacle of the Lord, as the Lord commanded Moses. Then the officers who were over thousands of the army, the captains of thousands and captains of hundreds, came near to Moses, and they said to Moses, your servants have taken account of the men of war who are under our command, and not a man of us is missing. Therefore, we have brought an offering for the Lord, that every man found of ornaments of gold, armlets and bracelets and signet rings and earrings and necklaces to make atonement for ourselves before the Lord. So Moses and Eleazar the priest received the gold from them, all the fashion ornaments and all the gold of the offering that they offered to the Lord. From the captives of thousands and captives of hundreds were 16,750 shekels. The men of war had taken spoil every man for himself. And Moses and Eleazar the priest received the gold from the captains of thousands and of hundreds and brought it into the tabernacle meeting as a memorial for the children of Israel before the Lord. Chapter 32. Now the children of Reuben and the children of Gad had a very great multitude of livestock. And when they saw the land of Jazer and the land of Gilead, that indeed the region was a place for livestock. The children of Gad and the children of Reuben came and spoke to Moses, to Eleazar the priest, and to the leaders of the congregation, saying, Eltarot, Dibon, Jazer, Nimrah, Hezbon, Eleah, Sheban, Nebo, and Dion, the country which the Lord defeated before the congregation of Israel, is a land for livestock, and your servants have livestock. Therefore they said, if we have found favor in your sight, let this land be given to your servants as a possession. Do not take us over the Jordan. And Moses said to the children of Gad and to the children of Reuben, shall your brethren go to war while you sit here? Now, why will you discourage the heart of the children of Israel from going over into the land which the Lord has given them? Thus your fathers did when I sent them away from Kadesh Barnea to see the land. For when they went up to the valley of Eshcol and saw the land, they discouraged the heart of the children of Israel, so that they did not go into the land which the Lord had given them. So the Lord's anger was aroused on that day, and he swore an oath, saying, surely none of the men who came up from Egypt from 20 years old and above shall see the land of which I swore to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, because they have not wholly followed me, except Caleb the son of Jephunneh and the Kizite, and Joshua the son of Nun. But they have wholly followed the Lord. So the Lord's anger was aroused against Israel, and he made them wander in the wilderness 40 years, until all the generation that had done evil in the sight of the Lord was gone. And look, you have risen in your father's place, a brood of sinful men, to increase still more the fierce anger of the Lord against Israel. For if you turn away from following him, he will once again leave them in the wilderness, and you will destroy all these people. Then they came near to him and said, we will build sheepfolds here for our livestock and cities for our little ones, but we ourselves will be armed, ready to go before the children of Israel until we have brought them to their place, and our little ones will dwell in the fortified cities because of the inhabitants of the land. We will not return to our homes until every one of the children of Israel has received his inheritance. But we will not inherit with them on the other side of the Jordan and beyond, because our inheritance has fallen to us on this eastern side of the Jordan. Then Moses said to them, if you do this thing, if you arm yourselves before the Lord for the war, and all your armed men cross over the Jordan before the Lord until he has driven out his enemies from before him, and the land is subdued before the Lord, then afterwards you may return and be blameless before the Lord and before Israel, and this land shall be your possession before the Lord. But if you do not do so, then take note you have sinned against the Lord, and be sure your sin will find you out. Build cities for your little ones and folds for your sheep, and do what has proceeded out of your mouth. And the children of Gad and the children of Reuben spoke to Moses, saying, your servants will do as my Lord commands. Our little ones, our wives, our flocks, and all our livestock shall be there in the cities of Gilead. But your servants will cross over, every man armed for war, before the Lord to battle, just as my Lord says. So Moses gave command concerning them to Eleazar the priest, to Joshua the son of Nun, and to the chief fathers of the tribes of the children of Israel. And Moses said to them, if the children of Gad and the children of Reuben cross over the Jordan with you, every man armed for battle before the Lord, and the land is subdued before you, then you shall give them the land of Gilead as a possession. But if they do not cross over armed with you, they shall have possessions among you in the land of Canaan. And the children of Gad and the children of Reuben answered, saying, as the Lord has said to your servants, so we will do. We will cross over armed before the Lord into the land of Canaan. But the possession of our inheritance shall remain with us on this side of the Jordan. So Moses gave to the children of Gad, to the children of Reuben, and to the half-tribe of Manasseh, the son of Joseph, the kingdom of Shechem, king of the Amorites, and the kingdom of Og, king of Bashan, the land with its cities within the borders, the cities of the surrounding countries, and the children of Gilead built Debon and Esarah, and Ir, Athar, and Shophet, and Jazar, and Jazbahat, Beth Nera and Beth Aram, fortified cities, and folds for sheep, and the children of Reuben built Hashbon and Eleazar and Kirjaharim, Nebo and Baal-Meon, their names being changed, and Shemah, and they gave other names to the cities which they built. And the children of Mithar, the son of Manasseh, went to Gilead and took it, and disposed of the Amorites who were in it. So Moses gave Gilead to Mithar, the son of Manasseh, and he dwelt in it. And Jair, the son of Manasseh, went and took his small towns and called them Havoth-Jair. And Noboth went and took Kenneth and his villages, and called it Noboth, also his own name. And that is our word. And as we go to a life lesson from Numbers chapter 32, verse 15, if you turn away from following him, he will once again lead them in the wilderness, and you will destroy all these people. As believers, we must always take our responsibilities seriously. When we try to take the easy way out of a difficult situation, we may hurt others, even if it is unintentional. Whatever we do, we got to do it decent and in order. We got to do what God tells us to do, and we have to do it to the best of our ability. Again, the Lord God is in charge of obeying his instructions. And again, the children of Reuben and Gad and half-tribe of Manasseh, they were given land in Canaan, but they chose to stay on the other side. So they had to get permission from God to change what God had put in place, that they would have land in the other, on the other side of the Jordan. But God gave them permission as long as they did what they vowed to do. So we have to be very careful. Don't make vows you can't keep. That's just like a marriage vow, Mother Valerie. If you say, I promise, you know, to love you through sickness and through health, when your wife or your husband gets sick, that don't mean it's time to get a divorce. That means that you have made a vow through sickness and through health. You know, I understand that, you know, as we all know, that there are others that have done that. My father, you know, that raised me, when my mother that raised me also, when they got sick, when she got sick, he took care of her until the day she left this earth. I remember as a teenager him picking her up and taking her to the restroom. You know, us learning how to use bedpans, how to do bed baths. I learned all of that as a teenager. The things I use now in my ministry of health, where I go and help seniors, I learned as a teenager watching my father take care of my mother. And I tell you this, you know, we have got to understand that everything that we do vow-wise, we got to keep. And I'm so grateful that I had examples of what to do and how to act and how to take care of others. So we got to do that. Take care of our brothers and sisters. Take care of our mothers. Take care of our husbands and wives. Take care of those that cannot take care of themselves. If you bow before God through sickness and health until death do us part, you got to stick with it, because that's a vow before God. And that is when you're equally yoked and you're married under God, that's when you can do it. But if you marry unequally yoked, if you marry outside of the will of God, you're going to have problems. And as Jesus said, the certificates of divorce were given to men because men did not have rights. Because God wanted us to be one. You know, I believe in my heart, folks ask me, do you want to get married again? I don't know. That's all God's will. Because I felt like I had been married to my soulmate, that I had been married to the rib, to the one, I'm the rib of the one that I married, as they say. I believe that. You know, 32 years, you can't just give up and say, oh, it's all good. I just believe that whatever God's plan, I will do. But if it's not God's plan for me to remarry, I'm fine with it. But I would stick with whatever God said, because I believe in my heart that the Lord God is in charge of everything, and I will obey his instructions. So any word, Mother Valerie, any word from anyone out there who is listening today? Now is the time to push the one on your phone at 213-943-3597. If not, we have a beautiful, wonderful word from Sister Carolyn, and it is this. When we continue to worship, our worries will continue to wither. Have a fantastic Friday, family. That's all we have today. I thank you for joining us. Again, for those, I thank all of you for just being who you are, wonderful, awesome, and mighty sons and daughters of the Most High God. Have a blessed and wonderful day. Mother Valerie, do you have anything this morning?
You know, I was just thinking about obey the title. Obey what God tells you to do. Obedience is better than sacrifice. And when we obey God, we come out on the top. We have to obey God. If God say go to the left, go to the left. If God say go to the right, go to the right. When you obey God, then the things that are happening to the left won't happen to you. You have to obey. You have to do it. And just like mm-hmm. we're raising our children, when we raise children, we expect our children to obey us. Because they are. We are the children of the Most High God. We are his children. And we have to obey. You save yourself a lot of trouble when you obey God. God is just a good God. You don't wake yourself up. God wakes you up. People say that they wake up by the clock. They don't wake up by no clock. God wakes
I agree with you.
He does that. He wakes you up. So God is good. And if you don't wake up, absence from the body is always presence with the Lord. That's if you are serving
Amen.
The Lord. That's if you're serving him. You go straight on into his presence. So this is just beautiful lesson.
And we know that is true, Mother, because we just read on yesterday that Jesus said that he would gather from to the Father's heaven. Didn't he say that? So
Amen.
I believe that we do transition to another world, to that heavenly realm, when we trust in the God, in God, and that we are absent from the body, we are in the presence of the Lord. And as we get ready to wrap up this morning, a word that we pray every day, may the Lord watch between me and thee while we're absent one from each other. In Jesus' name, we pray over you and your family. Have a blessed and wonderful day, knowing that you are sons and daughters of the Most High God, and that you are loved. Thank you for joining Mother Valerie and I. Come join me on Sunday as we go through our Psalm, Proverbs, and New Testament, 7 a.m. Central Standard Time on Blog Talk Radio. This is Moving Forward. Have a blessed and wonderful day, family. Have a great Sabbath. Join us on Sunday. God bless you all. It's a wrap, Mother Valerie.
It's a wrap.
It's a wrap.
It's a wrap.